thinking big thoughts so you don't have to.
Every day.
Here's John Williams.
Hi, how are you? It's John. Thanks for tuning in. We're here till 3 today, Saturdays 10 to noon, on social media. Search for and like WGN King. That'd be WGN King John. Lots to do on the show today. Remember, we talk politics a little bit. We try not to talk politics too much.
I think I'm too wrapped up following the news.
There's a super stress disorder called politosis out there.
I was doing my ABCs and I went EFG7. I couldn't say G without 7. You know, G7.
Too much politics makes it hard to think straight sometimes.
Say G and I'll try to say the next letter. Watch.
EFG.
7.
To treat politosis, there's a new miracle wonder drug called Urelium Life 9000.
So, are we dropping nuclear bombs on Greenland? I'm confused.
Urelium Life 9000 is made by an ethnically blended group of scientists wearing white lab coats in New Jersey. Take Urelium Life 9000 as a liquid pill, gel cap, eye drop, nasal mist, ear burst, time-release arm patch, powder, vapable vial, fogged tent, mouth rinse, chewable briquettes, and now a highly experimental home epidural kit.
Did you say fog tents?
Don't take Urelium Life 9000 if you've recently eaten grapefruit, live in Ohio, are pregnant, or are thinking about getting pregnant in Ohio while eating grapefruit.
This sounds like a very safe and effective idea for me and my family.
4 doctors recommend Urelium Life 9000.
4 out of 5?
No, just 4, but we're working on it.
Here I go. EFG Willikers.
She's working on it. It's 108 on WGN. So just a little bit of politics to start the show, and then we move on. One of the reasons that I'm glad I'm not running for president is because I would have to, on the one hand, be super serious and think about global warming and taxes. But on the other hand, I'd have to be able to relate to people like the average Joe. Have a beer with Hillary Clinton. And I don't know that I could do either of those that well. Sean Hannity posted on his website and Twitter account the video of Beto O'Rourke making a cheeseburger. Have you seen the video of Beto O'Rourke making a cheeseburger? This is the sort of silly thing that you go, all right, this really shouldn't matter, but I have to do it. And if I get it wrong, then it'll actually distance me from the people instead of endear me to the people. And I don't know enough to know what works and what doesn't. But, I mean, really, who's ever heard of Beto O'Rourke? We all did. Then he kind of went away. Then Mayor Pete came along, and then other people came along. And now Beto's not the guy. He was the guy, he's not the guy. But he's still running. So they posted a video of him cooking a cheeseburger like an average guy at his house. Hey, who doesn't want that? But the video may have backfired. Again, reading from Sean Hannity's page, when Democratic presidential candidate Beto O'Rourke said that he was born to serve, we did not think he meant this. In his latest attempt to capture the spirit of the average Joe and reinvigorate his failing campaign, Beto shared a video of himself making cheeseburgers. Eagle Eye users on social media were quick to question his burger-making skills. So what he's doing, he's got the rolled-up white sleeves, as always. No tie. You know, it's just like you might imagine. He's got a non-stick skillet there, kind of a fancy skillet on his stovetop. And he's got some cheeseburgers going. And he's using his little metal spatula, and he scoops the cheeseburger out. It's got some cheese on there. It looks delicious. And then he drops it on top of a buttered English muffin and then puts a couple of onions on top. And then he does it. Then he puts another slice of another cheeseburger with cheese on top on that same kind of English muffin. It's like a double English muffin buttered cheeseburger with onions. I don't know how that would taste. The posts say things like this on Twitter. He slipped up. Humans don't use English muffins as hamburger buns, posted one user. Another said, I have a lot of notes on where this went wrong. He can eat bad hamburgers. I don't care. But metal spatulas on nonstick ware? Monster, said another. How can you trust the competence of any candidate who would not at least take the time to at least center the slice of cheese? I have zero confidence in his ability to do anything.
Oh, just stop. Would you just stop right now?
These are the thing. This is the world communicating, Steve. I'm not inventing this.
So we've got one person doesn't like the bun, one person doesn't like the cheese placement, one person doesn't like the spatula choice.
Affirmative.
Okay.
Soledad O'Brien questioned the use of butter on the bun. Soledad O'Brien. And then they go on to say bad things about him and his campaign.
Do you follow her at all? She's kind of, I don't know what she does now, but she's got a lot of time on her hands.
I thought I knew her, and then she became more political, and I thought, oh, I guess I don't know you. She doesn't pop up on my feed.
She's a great example of an unfollow.
I guess so. I want to get to that in just a second. But I also just wanted to maybe give us all a moment to pause and think, okay, maybe this tells you something, maybe it doesn't. But if nothing else, it underscores how silly our political process is at times. I mean, this really is Hillary having a beer or not, right? Or Barack and Joe going into a store and slapping their back pockets to see if either of them have cash, or the president not recognizing the UPC code and he's at a grocery store when he's going through a line. You know, we want them to look, feel, and experience life like we do. And when they do something that is a little out of our box, we're quick to make huge judgments about their ability to, you know, run the Navy, for crying out loud. So you make with this what you will. But, you know, if you had to say good idea, bad idea, I would say good idea that backfired, Beto, because when I was watching it, I thought the burgers looked good. But I think this, and by the way, and then on the plate upon which he served it, and Steve, I don't want to drill down too deep into the political meaning here, but there were two small broccoli florets. Now, who does that? Who serves cheeseburgers on buttered English muffins with a couple of broccoli florets on the side? I don't want that man to be my buddy or president. I can't relate to that. That's not how we roll here in America.
It's creative, though.
It's creative. Guy that does that maybe can solve world problems. Maybe you're right, Elif. I'm wrong. And that's him showing, hey, it doesn't always have to be drain the skillet. That's what we're going to do. We're going to do it. Look at things a different way. So that's the Beto O'Rourke story. But there's a Twitter account that I do follow. Rex Chapman, I'm sure you don't follow it, Elif. He's a former University of Kentucky basketball superstar and played in the NBA for a while, Rex Chapman. The first time I discovered Rex Chapman on Twitter was when I saw the video of, and it was really amazing. He posts videos. This is what the guy does. He just posts videos. He's a former NBA basketball standout who now is retired, and he posts videos. This is what he does. He's got about 250,000 followers or so. And the videos are always of really amazing action scenes involving humans or animals. Blocker Charge is the name of the Twitter account. You know, in the NBA, if a guy's driving the lane and he crashes into somebody, the referee has to decide if it was a block or a charge, hence the name for this former basketball player. And since there are always action scenes where people tend to be crashing into things, it works. So that's why it's called Blocker Charge, I would assume. And the first time I saw him was when he did the video of, he posted the video. It's at the beach. And the waves are coming in. And guys are getting ready to surf. This is the way I recall it now. And, well, in fact, here's a description of it in the USA Today. Yeah, here it is. A guy is paddling out on his paddleboard, maybe to catch a wave or whatever. But there's a whole bunch of dolphins in the surf, and they're kind of swimming with the wave. The dolphins are, in essence, surfing in the wave. And this guy's paddling out, and as he's going out, one of the dolphins emerges from the wave and slams into him. It's the most amazing thing you've ever seen. It's hilarious. You wonder if he's okay. You wonder if the dolphin's okay. Like all videos on Twitter, though, it ends right there. You never know what the next step is. People seem to have an innate sense on how to edit videos that way. Steve, you showed me a video the other day of your son and daughter, one throwing a bucket of water on the other, and it cut off right after the water splashed Emma.
Right.
And I thought, oh, I want to know what happens next. Like, is she angry at her brother? Does she go tearing after him or no? But they always edit it so that you're left hanging. There must be something brilliant about that. But I always find it frustrating as a viewer. I want to know what the next scene was.
She went on to graduate from college and moved now to L.A.
What does she do there?
She works for a public relations firm.
Yeah.
Well, then maybe, CKD Marketing.
Maybe she knows all about this. But I didn't mean what happens next in her life. Oh. I want to know what happened in the next 10 seconds of the video.
Well, she beat the crap out of him.
That's what I wondered. Or did she kind of smile and go, oh, you rascal. Oh, you, I love you, my brother. I don't know. You don't know. In the case of the dolphin that hits the paddle boarder, I wanted to know if the guy drowned or he got up and rode the dolphin for a while. I don't know what happened. Much of the videos that Rex, and it's so the whenever the post comes up on my Twitter feed, I'm like, oh boy, here we go. But I would say 7 times out of 10, it involves somebody seriously injuring themselves. And the ways in which people injure themselves are fantastic. And some of it you believe that would be captured on video because guys do stupid stuff and their drunk buddies are usually standing there videoing it. And then some of it just seems to be amazingly by happenstance. The wheel coming off of a truck bouncing across the road and hitting the woman from the back of her head. The wheel must have been doing 50 miles an hour. A car tire slamming her from behind. I don't know how you survive that, but it stops right there. There is the video that I saw yesterday of a guy. He looks like he's on a college campus. If this isn't it, this is what it looks like. So there's a young man. I'm going to make him 18 years old. He's on a bike that looks like it has kind of fat tires, and he's on the hill. The hill actually rolls out into a lane of traffic. He's going to go perpendicular to it. He's going to go right across the two lanes of traffic. So he looks left, looks right, and now he's zoom going down the hill really fast on his bike. And he gets past the two lanes of traffic because he looked left and right, and there was nobody coming. But then a few feet later, there's two other lanes of traffic parallel to this, and he rolls into there and gets clobbered by a car. He goes up into the air, video quits. It's amazing to see. And very fast. And again, you can't believe it was captured, but there it was. I saw a video yesterday of a guy, and he looks like he's standing on the front porch of a house. And there's another house next to him. And he's going to jump from the rail of the porch on the one house onto the roof of the other. He's going to jump off this rail, sail across the very narrow divide between the two houses, and he'll be able to grab the roof of the next house. And then he's going to swing himself up there and join his friends. They're all having a party. He grabs the roof of the next house. His body somersaults forward. He does a half back flip and lands on his neck. Video quits. It's video after video after video like that. And you watch them once or twice, but then you think, what am I watching here?
Yeah, that seems like something unlikely for you to watch.
Sometimes the videos he posts, Steve, are the most endearing things, the most wonderful things. Just one quick example, and then I'll address what you just said. One of the videos he posted just recently has four guys looking like they're on a beach in Brazil, say. They look South American, and they're on a beach, and it's crowded, and there's a lot of beautiful people there. And they're kicking a soccer ball back and forth between the three of them. They formed actually a little square, each of them taking a corner of the square. The fourth position or side of this little square, instead of a handsome young Brazilian dude, is a dog. And the dog, when they kick the ball in the air to him, jumps up in the air, hits it with his mouth, and then the ball goes right to one of the guys. And for a long time, the four of them are passing the soccer ball back and forth in the air with the dog. It's wonderful. You're so happy for them and the dog. And then the next video shows somebody maybe dying. And it's one of those things, Steve, where you just say, okay, I don't want to watch this, but there it is. Chapman says that people send him the videos. The article in the USA Today from earlier this year was about where his account briefly got suspended because he posted some video he didn't have the rights to. So Twitter wasn't taking exception to the content. They were simply saying we have a copyright issue here. The account went right back up a day or two later. They say it's not a complicated premise. Chapman will tweet a video of a wild action scene. Maybe a dog jumping on a kid on a sled, and then ask block or charge in reference to the calls that a referee makes in a basketball game. He's pushed the limit before, posting some videos that look pretty painful. He did say in an interview with the USA Today, earlier this year that he avoids posting videos that show a blatant death, so there are some standards at least. He told the USA Today that many of the videos that he publishes are sent to him by fans and friends, which he then reposts on his account. So that's That's one that I was, I think I don't know which one pushed me sort of over the edge. It's still on my phone. I haven't deleted that account because I like the videos a lot of the times. And even the ones that are dark, I don't think I'm making these people do stupid things. But I also just think it's an example of how Twitter, I don't know, brings out the worst in us or recognizes that there is that worst side of us and then feeds it, right? So I'm not doing anything. I'm not saying yay. I'm just looking. But maybe I'm part of the problem. I don't know the answer to that. I don't know if you've had a conversation like this with yourself about a person or a site, but I'd be interested in what your reaction is or what you've gone through. Do you follow Rex Chapman's blocker charge? My number is 312-981-7200. Call or text now, WGN. We have a fantastical president who comes up with fantastical ideas. Now, the president is at the G7 summit, and he's talking about a variety of things like blowing up hurricanes or not talking about blowing up hurricanes. I love the idea of blowing up hurricanes. If you said, hey, there's a hurricane coming, let's use an atomic bomb and just blow it up in the middle and maybe that'll wipe the thing out. I love that kind of thinking. So I told my producer today, I said, Elif, call a bunch of really smart people and ask them if you can blow up a hurricane.
One person said, we don't have anyone who specializes in nuking hurricanes. That was Argonne.
And I felt Argonne really National Laboratory. That's like, those are the nuke people.
So, and then the other three people I talked to all burst out laughing. And I'm not exaggerating. They were like you. They were like,
I don't know. You got a hurricane coming and it's all these things. And if you went, boom, I don't know. And by the way, you don't know either. I like talk radio when they talk about things. Let's talk about things. You go, oh, that's a crazy idea. Why? Oh, because Donald Trump said it. That doesn't mean it doesn't happen. What if Barack Obama said it? Well, then you say, oh, you know, he's a very smart guy. Maybe he could blow up a hurricane. So let's find out. Let's not dismiss it out of hand. So we didn't. We actually found some FAQs about that. And the idea of blowing up a hurricane pretty much can't happen. You pretty much can't do it. The fallout would be problematic, and it's just too much energy as big as an atomic whoom would be. You can't unwhoom a hurricane. Maybe the tropical storm you could. We didn't ask about that. Elif, call the Argonne National Laboratory again. Ask them if they can use an atomic bomb to wipe out a tropical storm. Just kidding. Elif's looking at me like, I will do it, but you know I don't want to do it. We talked a moment ago about the Beto O'Rourke video posted trying to make him look like an average Joe, cooking not the way most Americans do a cheeseburger. 269 posted or texted in and said, when voting for president, ask yourself if you would trust this person to take care of your dog. I think that's an interesting way to imagine it, right? Because the proverbial one is have a beer with them. Beto O'Rourke says, look, I'm cooking a hamburger just like you. We're having a bunch of fun here. Hey, vote for me for president. But at the end of the day, would you say, yes, I do want you to watch my dog? Now, if the answer is yes, it doesn't necessarily mean that they should be president. But the answer is no. You can at least check that person off, right? There's some people on the list, and you go, yeah, I don't think so. 630 said, I can't believe he used a green plate. But 773 said this, and it's true. John, it sounds like you just discovered the internet. I was talking about the Rex Chapman videos. You don't follow him, do you, Steve?
No.
You kind of want to follow him now, don't you?
Yeah.
I do, too.
I know.
Do you remember the Gary Bauer? Remember Gary Bauer, who was a Republican, ran for president?
Vaguely.
And he was flipping pancakes at one of those events.
Oh, God, yeah.
And fell off the back of the stage.
Oh, gee. I don't remember all of that.
Yeah.
Oh, the poor guy.
I know.
Now I'm going to go look at that video.
Rex Chapman tweeted it.
He did not. But that is the sort of thing he would. Only in his case, when Chapman does it, he falls off the stage cooking pancakes and then gets hit by a semi. I mean, that just happens a lot in his videos. And I'm just thinking, you know, what insatiable itch do I have here that I constantly need to have scratched by these ugly videos?
Okay, I'll cop to something like that. Do you have the same disappointment if you're stuck in traffic behind an accident and it's cleared by the time you get there?
Interesting question. I have a lot of thoughts about that.
I've noticed that about myself. I'm like, are you kidding me? I just waited 20 minutes and it's gone.
I don't know what happened.
Can't even see what held me up.
What I try to suppress is my anger at the person who was in the crash, right? Because maybe it's just a stupid fender bender. Maybe it's something really bad. But I know this, 100,000 people are really inconvenienced because you were probably texting on your phone.
That has never occurred to me.
Oh my gosh, you're kidding me.
No.
When I come up on those scenes, and again, I'm not talking, it's seldom that I come up on something really ugly, but when I think, wow, there is a crash, I think, you idiot, you are, you know, I hope you survived. But doggone it, do you see what you've done to all of us? I'm trying to get to a movie.
Didn't you want to charge people once for traffic time?
Or? I still do. I think it should be a ticketable offense. That is, if you are in an accident, say a one-car crash, maybe they do write tickets anyway, but I think there should be some consequences, like a fine. What if you knew that texting on Lakeshore Drive, and you might get people getting crashes every day? I think you told us once what the average was. I think it's more than one a day. If that would cost you a lot of money, I don't know what that would do. I don't know if that would help or not. Does traffic have anything to say about that over there, Jen DeSalvo? Strong opinions about that either way? Maybe not.
I dislike when people are using their phones and they're driving or walking, even on the sidewalk. So,
Yesterday, I was walking to the L, and you know how they have those bike lanes now?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are crossing against the light. I don't do this anymore in Chicago. I will wait passive-aggressively, even if I'm by myself, until the thing turns green and I get the white walk icon. Because
mm-hmm.
I just don't want to get in the bad habit. Right? Like, you can walk against the light a lot and you'll make it. But if I fall into that habit, not pay sufficient attention and then step in front of a bus. So to prevent that from being my demise, I've decided I'm not even going to tempt myself. I'll wait until I get the icon. People were crossing against the light the other day, big time on, and it was after Michigan Avenue. And so they see that there's no cars coming. And then a bunch of them go, but 30 miles an hour, here comes a bicyclist going really fast with his head down in his lane that I guess he had the right to, and he went right between two people. I mean, I was this close to a Rex Chapman video. It almost happened right in front of me.
So if the cyclist has the right-of-way and the pedestrian is crossing and the pedestrian gets hit, that pedestrian should be held accountable because a cyclist, if they go flying, they get hurt a lot more than if they're a pedestrian or in a vehicle. But yeah.
Both of them would have been hurt in that case.
Oh, they would have. Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Olive.
I saw a funny story or a meme or something, a quote about how Chicagoans are not afraid to cross the street even against the light.
Yeah.
And we're not afraid of getting hit by a car because we're like, come at me. I need the money. I'll sue.
So, yeah. And then when you go and you sue, you're not going to win because you didn't have the right of way. If there is an orange sign that's telling you to stop, you stop. And then you won't even have a chance to sue because you're going to be dead.
That's just what I was thinking.
So would you rather be dead or right? And in this situation, like, even if you do have the right of way, look both ways and stop. Cars will kill you.
So many people are willing, though, to just, you know, with their head down, or maybe they do have the right of way. And aren't paying sufficient attention. They'll just walk right out in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
And go, well, I have the right of way. I go, yeah, you do. I'm making a mistake here. And now you're dead, and I feel really bad about it. But when I go by a crash, back to Bertrand's point, I'm usually mad at those people. You know, maybe at least one of them, right? Because I'm thinking, you guys, you've ruined this day for everybody.
So I don't know who I'd rather not be, the person who's mad at the person in the crash or the one who's bummed he can't see it.
This is just the darkest sides of all of us. This is not pretty. It's 1:44. Our news click, the daily web poll question at WGNradio.com asks, what grade do you give Lori Lightfoot? And 7 out of 10 of you give her a B or an A. 45% to B, 15% or 14% now an A. And then just a very smattering, give her a D and an F, 28% give her a C. But mostly she's doing really well. The headline in the Sun Times 2 days ago read, community activists give Lightfoot a D for her first 100 days. A group of community activists give her that grade for her performance, saying she's failed to enact key parts of her agenda. I'm not going to beat her up after 100 days. But they say an F for not passing the Civilian Police Accountability Council ordinance. Not exactly sure what all that is, but she didn't do it. Another F for not fully supporting an elected school board. A D for not yet closing loopholes in the welcoming city ordinance that allows for police collaboration with ICE. You know, she's against that. She hasn't done enough about that. They give her a D for not ending the use of money bonds, you know, that reduce pretrial incarceration. A lot of people are in jail, not because they're guilty, but because they were arrested and they can't afford bond. If we found another way to get them out without forcing them to come up with thousands of dollars, we'd clear the jails and the people would have a better chance of defending themselves. She said, I'm going to get that done. She hasn't done it yet, but she's been in office for 100 days. Lots of texts about a lot of topics here because we've been kind of all over the map. We'll pick those up in a couple of minutes. And I'm interested in your Lightfoot grade, A, B, C, D, or F, at 312-981-7200. You know, I'll give her an incomplete, just to be fair. But if you said, no, you've got to pick A through F, I'm going to give her a B plus. How about you? Lots more text still pouring into the show here. We were talking about who's got the right of way in various intersections. Hey, traffic, are you paying attention to WGN Radio right now?
Are you talking to me, John?
Jen DeSalvo, it says here, I'm saying this tongue-in-cheek, John, but the cyclists always have the right of way.
Yeah, that's not true.
That's not true?
No. That's not true. They don't. They have to follow the rules of the road like motor vehicles.
And when do they?
Well, I stop at every stop sign, but I also like building leg muscle, so, you know.
Okay, but if there's a red light and nobody's coming, cyclists, they go through all the time. They're not supposed to do that?
No, they're not supposed to do that.
John, check out the law in the state of Illinois. It has a law that says any person in the crosswalk has the right of way.
Well, if they are already in the crosswalk, that is accurate. But if there's signals, pedestrians are subject to the traffic and pedestrian control signals that are on the streets and therefore have to abide by them. In just any other crosswalks, yes, they do have the right of way, but they can't just suddenly leave a curb if there is a car coming at them causing a hazard. They have to wait until the car goes.
Yeah, I saw that once. A lady walked across the light because she thought, I can make it. The guy made a right turn. Because he had the green, and then he hit the brakes. Well, the guy behind him thought he was going through, and
yeah.
He slammed into him. And then they look at the lady. The lady caused the crash.
She just, like, walks away? Did she just walk away?
Yeah, and then she goes, sucks to be you. And then she kind of walks on. I mean,
wow.
It's not her car. What do you want, her insurance card? I think, really, she's irrelevant here. But she caused the crash.
But there are, then, just regular crosswalks, not at a stop sign or stoplight, just a crosswalk. Mm-hmm. And you can enter that at any time.
I do all of the time, but that's a leap of faith.
It is because there's so few of them, no one knows they're there.
You know,
so a car could come upon it and not have any idea.
Maybe they should have better signage coming up on those. Right, Steve? You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
You know where one is, and I don't think it's been there forever, is on Clark, right between the Zachary Hotel and that, Gallagher's Way green space they have at Wrigley Field.
Oh, yeah, they just put a new crosswalk in.
Yeah, right.
Like, official crosswalk.
I know that, but, I mean, there's no light there. There's no sign there. So cars go left to right, Wrigley Field, zoom, 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 and you're never going to get across. The way you're supposed to do it is you walk into traffic, and you make eye contact with them and go, so you know, I have a right here.
I'm going to take another step.
I know, that's it.
I mean, it's culture-wise. In California, there's a real culture where you don't, you know, the pedestrians always have had great power, so you're always looking for them there. We're not used to that here, so those pop-up crosswalks are dangerous, I think.
I think they are, but how else are you going to get that person across the street? My wife would still be there. Brenda has no confidence in your ability to see her. I don't blame her for that, but I don't know. I do it more often, and I kind of walk out like a traffic cop, like a crossing guard. I have my arms extended like, yo, do you see me? Mm-hmm. Do you see me? Joe, you're on WGN. What did you want to say? You're on the air.
Hi, John. The woman that was crossing the crosswalk may have caused it, but the car that rear-ended the other car is falling too closely by any law.
Yeah,
that's true.
So if you ever run into somebody, it's always your fault.
That's pretty much the right. That's exactly right. Yeah. Unless they just jump out in front of you for some stupid reason, but that's exactly how it would have gone down.
Yeah. Attention, teenagers. I mean, I had that conversation with my dad when I had one of my first crashes. I ran into somebody, and I had a real good explanation for why it happened, and my dad had no sympathy for it. He said, it's your fault. It'll always be your fault if you're the second car. Yeah, thanks for the call.
I live across the street from a school, and I love when I'm out in the yard with the dog, and there's just people that are either doing the rolling stop or blowing through the stop sign,
yeah.
And they're looking at their phones in their hand. And it's like, really? Really?
Mel, you're on WGN. Hi.
Hi, how are you, John?
Good, Mel. Talk to us.
Well, I'm trying to avoid hitting pedestrians because I'm on Ontario trying to get out of the city. But
thank you.
I was up in Lake Geneva or near Lake Geneva a couple weeks ago, and on Lakeshore Drive, it winds around the lake up by Fontana.
Yep.
There's a crosswalk, and when you come up to it, you see the sign, and so you know you're from the city. You stop, right? And the sign says, traffic does not stop for pedestrians in crosswalks.
Well, then that's a crosswalk that's really not doing its job now, is it?
It's correct.
You might as well put up a deer crossing and just say, they're going to be coming. Y'all figure it out yourself.
That's exactly. Well, it surprised me and almost got rear-ended because I stopped, you know.
Thanks for the phone call, my friend.
Have a good day, John.
Thank you. Have a good day. I'm glad you're listening.
Thinking big thoughts. So you don't have to.
64, huh?
Here's John Williams.
Lakefront water temperature? I thought it was closer to 80 degrees when I correctly guessed it during our triangulation game last week.
Well, the winds have shifted.
Evidently. I would have noticed that. Hi, it's John. We're in the Skyline Studios, downtown Chicago. This show goes weekdays from 1 to 3.
I think I'm too wrapped up following the news.
There's a super stress disorder called polytosis out there.
I was doing my ABCs and I went EFG7. I couldn't say G without 7. You know, G7.
Too much politics makes it hard to think straight sometimes.
Say G and I'll try to say the next letter. Watch.
EFG.
7.
To treat polytosis, there's a new miracle wonder drug called Urelium Life 9000.
So, are we dropping nuclear bombs on Greenland? I'm confused.
Urelium Life 9000 is made by an ethnically blended group of scientists wearing white lab coats in New Jersey. Take Urelium Life 9000 as a liquid pill, gel cap, eye drop, nasal mist, ear burst, time-release arm patch, powder, vapable vial, fogged tent, mouth rinse, chewable briquettes, and now a highly experimental home epidural kit.
Did you say fog tents?
Don't take Urelium Life 9000 if you've recently eaten grapefruit, live in Ohio, are pregnant, or are thinking about getting pregnant in Ohio while eating grapefruit.
This sounds like a very safe and effective idea for me and my family.
Four doctors recommend Urelium Life 9000.
4 out of 5?
No, just 4, but we're working on it.
Here I go. EFG Willikers.
Oh, she was that close. I think the next medication I take, I want to take in a fogged tent. I don't even have to do anything. They just, you know, put up a little tent thing. You step in there. They just fog you with whatever the medicine is, and then you're good to go. Just a new way to consume the unending stream of drugs that we take here in the United States of America. It treats polytosis. It's called Urelium Life 9000. It's also 209 on WG, and this is John Williams. Just finishing up a whole bunch of texts and conversations we've been having this afternoon about the way we drive and don't drive correctly, walk and don't walk correctly, and ride our bicycles. We're all interacting with each other. It all got started when one Steve Bertrand said, I get mad when I get to the scene of a crash and the debris has been cleared away. I said I get mad at the people for inconveniencing the rest of us. And a couple of you said that you get mad for you get mad at all the idiots that slow down to look either way. This person said, why would you want to see something horrific? First responders suffer from PTSD for a reason. You do not want to see that stuff.
Okay, let me just defend myself here because I don't completely agree with the characterization there. I'm not talking about I want to see mangled people.
Yep.
I'm just talking about if there was two cars involved in a crash and you invest all that time.
You want to see what happened.
You want to see what it was that was slowing you down. I'm not looking for blood or gore or anything like that.
I've heard it suggested that they should put up the first responders, not so much for the privacy of the victims, but just so we wouldn't have anything to see. If they put up some quick awning around it real quick, you know, some barrier, a curtain, then you'd come upon it, and then you wouldn't see, and you'd keep going. You wouldn't gawk.
I don't know if that would slow people down.
Well, they wouldn't know until they got there, and they'd slow down to wait and see, so maybe so. But if we knew, hey, don't worry, just keep going, because ain't going to be nothing to be seeing here, folks. John, the law in Chicago is if someone steps into a crosswalk, you have to stop your vehicle. My fiancé got a ticket for not stopping, even though she had a green light. Yeah. Well, Jen DeSalvo was saying she just stepped out of the traffic booth over there, but she said that's right, but if you enter the crosswalk against the icon, against the light, if you're walking illegally, say, then you don't have the right of way. John, we just came upon a rollover accident on Route 30. Hello, Route 30, be advised. John, pedestrians have the right of way, so if you live, you will win in court, said another texter. John, it continually amazes me that people walk the street and don't look both ways or anyway. Yeah, I'll tell you what, the phones will be the death of us yet. That's the phone. That's the phone. Jim, you're on WGN Radio. What did you want to say? You're on the air.
I wanted to say that, number one, the crosswalks in the city are crazy. I go down there like once every 3 months. I'm from Colorado, and they have signs saying pedestrians have the right of way. And there's a place in Colorado where all you have to do, no lights, just a crosswalk. All you have to do is put a foot and wait. You put a foot down in the crosswalk, and if cars come in, a cop will give you a ticket and have do it. They monitor just for that.
Wait, who's
going to do it? You don't even have to start walking. Huh?
The person getting the ticket is the car driver, right? Is the car.
Right. The person in the car, if they keep going and their tires are over the line of the crosswalk, and don't let that person go, they will get a ticket because the person, all he has to do is put a foot down. He doesn't have to start walking.
Oh, I see.
Just put a foot down in the crosswalk, and that car that's coming has to stop.
Yeah. And that freezes.
I mean, there's no light, there's no nothing.
Yeah, and in other words, that freezes up the crosswalk. So once my foot's in there, you can't, even if you're coming, you can't cross that line.
Exactly. And there are cops, you know how cops kind of sit around and look for speeders and look for this? There are cops that look around just for people that are in the crosswalk and people coming to give tickets to the cars.
That makes
sense. And so me... Huh?
Go ahead. Keep going.
Well, I say, as me from Colorado, when I go into a crosswalk, in my head, I keep saying, pedestrians have the right of way. Pedestrians have the right of way. Not that it'll save me if I get hit, but that's kind of what I say.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, sometimes it's hard for a culture, a state, a city to learn, right? I mean, it's a process. So if that's what we're learning in some neighborhoods in the city, I don't want to be the teacher, you know? Like, I'm still pretty careful when I step out of it. But I do this every single day, every single day. On my walk to and from the, I don't know how you go, Ella, from the Red Line at Grandin State, where we get off. When I cross over that one street over here, it's one of those situations, you know, on the backside of Trump Tower over there.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I think so, yeah.
When you cross that street, there's no light, and there's usually cars coming, so you just kind of walk out and go, come on now, everybody cooperate.
It's right by Marina Towers.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks.
See, in the back of your head, you're going to say, pedestrians have the right of way. Pedestrians have the right of way.
Hey, Jim, thanks for the call. But I'll give you a scenario where this it's just not that simple. Now, maybe they've taken it down because it was a nightmare. On Ogden Avenue, just west of LaGrange Road in LaGrange, the intersection I'm thinking of, the spot I'm thinking of, might actually be Western Springs. It's just before Nazareth Academy. There's a, or just after, it's right around Naz. And they have one of those Cook County Forest Preserves there. And there's a trail on either side of the road, on either side of Ogden. And people are often walking or riding on the trail. And there's no intersection there. And there's no light there. But people are frequently wanting to get from one side of the forest preserve to the other, and you got to cross Ogden. So they put in a crosswalk, and they put up a caution sign, and they say pedestrians have the right of way. So if a pedestrian comes out, you've got to slow down. But that has not been the routine there. Cars are coming, Jack. And there's no reason to even think something would be coming, right? Because it's just this little trailhead at the Cook County Forest Preserve. So it's not always that it's there. But people will come out, they'll step right into that crosswalk, And then the cars, they're doing 50 miles an hour. They have to hit the brakes. And what happens is, what was happening more than people were getting hit is cars were getting rear-ended. People were just slamming into each other because they had no expectation that that person was going to slow down. Don't know the solution to that scene, but it's not so easy just to say, okay, everybody, get the memo. Dear John, 847, yesterday I was in a long line of cars at a light. A woman wanted to cross in the street in the middle of the road. I had room in front of me where she chose to walk. As she walked, she was looking at her phone. I saw a car coming from the opposite direction. When I realized that she wasn't going to look up and started to step out, I blasted my horn and she jumped, startled, and just missed getting hit by two steps. She's about 45 years old, not a kid.
You know, it just occurred to me, in Deerfield, they have a crosswalk like that, but they have, in the middle, there's no intersection.
Yeah.
But they have a yellow light that, so if you want to make the cross, you hit the button and the light starts to flash.
Interesting. Makes
that,
it more
that would solve your Ogden thing, right?
Maybe so, yeah.
Because then cars behind it would see the flashing light, too.
People were just slamming into each other over there.
You know what my mom said over the weekend? I was with her, and
no, I don't, Elif. What did your mom say over the weekend?
We went for a bike ride, and people actually stopped for you here. So
my, in the city?
No, in the suburbs.
In the suburbs, yeah.
Much more. So in Turkey, you're dead. No one's stopping for you.
Elif's family lives in Turkey. Elif speaks fluent Turkish. So it's different in Turkey?
Yeah. I mean, people are impatient. There's a lack of consideration for other people. So have fun next year when you go.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to be in Istanbul a year from October. Visit KellyCruises.com to find out more about our trip.
People are very hospitable. It's just some people out there who seem less educated because of those actions are that way.
I don't think it's just India, though. I think we're...
You mean Turkey?
Pardon me, yeah. but I am thinking of India or places where bicycling is more prevalent, right? So I think there's this kind of groupthink, like we're going with the flow here, and it's every man for himself. 219, I worked at Saks Fifth Avenue. A woman left the store on her lunch hour, was hit by a bus on Michigan Avenue and killed. I never forgot that. John, I always put my hazards on when I see a pedestrian in the walk. Maybe a good idea? So I guess you're stopped there. You put your, yeah, I guess so. Put your hazards on because you want to make sure other cars see you sitting there, huh?
You have a new car. Could you find your hazards in a moment?
Nope.
Me, I have no idea.
I'm still looking for the CD player I don't have.
I use mine all the time. If I see, like, emergency vehicle coming past, I'll throw on my hazards and pull over to the right. Or if I see an accident up ahead, I'll put on my hazards. Because somebody's not going to be paying attention to the fact that you're slowing down, decelerating, or braking.
Oh, for sure.
You're going to totally get rear-ended, so I'm always throwing them on.
Whenever I see, and this is just a safety tip for all of us, whenever I see an emergency vehicle coming, I always move over to let them pass, and then I get right behind them because they're, like, blocking traffic, and we're just zooming through. Woohoo!
Or the people that pass you while you're pulled over.
Sorry, I don't do that. Don't do that.
No.
John, I'm just mad that the, I've seen more drivers messing with their GPS while driving than actually texting. I don't know how you know who is who, but I'm one of those people. I'll be hitting the screen and Brenda goes, John, what are you doing?
Knowing directions and how to read a map is like a superpower in 2019.
Okay. I guess that's it. Lots of texts about this topic today. Is that why Aaron's calling too on line one? All right, we'll take one more call here, then we'll take a break. It's 219. This is WGN Radio. Aaron, it's John. You're on the air. What's going on?
Hey, yeah, I just wanted to say that one of the traffic peeves that bother me the most is that when you're driving down a narrow street, people are getting out on the driver's side, opening the door, either taking out a baby or groceries. And I just want to say to those people, curbside. Go out on the curbside. That makes sense?
Wait a minute. If you're opening up the door on the right side, you are opening it up on the curbside, right?
Well, yeah, exactly. But there, I get so many people that open up on the street side, and they're
right.
Either taking out a baby or taking out groceries.
Yep.
And it's just real annoying.
Yep, I hear you. In fact, what is the reach called? It's the Amsterdam reach, the Dutch reach. That's it, right, Elif? Yeah. The Dutch reach. So the way they teach driving in Dutchland is that when you open up your door, you're the driver, you're on the left side of the vehicle, you're supposed to undo your seatbelt. Is that what it is? You open the door. You open the door with your right hand, not your left hand.
Yeah, so you're reaching over and actually looking behind you.
It kind of forces your body to turn a little bit, and it makes it easier to. It reminds you to look behind you because there may be a bicyclist coming. There may be another car coming. This is true on the right side, too, because in Chicago, Jen, do I have my geography right on this? In Chicago, the bicycle lane is on the right side. So if you open that door up, you could clip a bicyclist very easily as well.
Yeah. Yeah, there's some streets, though, that I get really confused on some side streets that have a designated bike lane on the left side. Like, if you're going one direction, are you supposed to be in that bike lane on the left side of the street? I don't know.
217 texted in and said, John, that crosswalk you were talking about in Western Springs, the dangerous one, is still there by the Forest Preserve. And yes, it is very dangerous. So there's a warning to us all. This is WGN Radio VMAs last night, video of the year. Our friend Taylor Swift looks great. Boy, that was a fun show she put on. I thought that was very colorful and fun. And it was really good. But Spotify released the top three songs of summer. What's the number one song of summer? And no, it's not the one you're thinking. It's not the one that's in your head, even as I have not said it. That song is playing in your head now. That's not the song of summer. Spotify said, here's the third most downloaded song or streamed song this summer. Then there's number two, and then there's number one. All of that after the news at 2:30. All of that after the news at 2:30. Remember now, tickets for our Thomas Jefferson show. Oh, shoot. Elif, I just said Thomas Jefferson.
Teddy Roosevelt.
It's funny because at the last show we did, the guy that does Thomas Jefferson also does Teddy Roosevelt. And at the last show, he brought the wrong outfit.
Oh, yeah.
We'd been billing the big Thomas Jefferson show, and he shows up with his Teddy Roosevelt costume. I go, dude, that won't work.
Didn't you have to go, like, thrift store shopping?
Yes. So that day, I was at, like, three different costume shops after my show, before they closed on a Friday. I was going, it was a very weird experience. I will say this about the people at costume shops in Chicago. They're lovely. They've seen strange people come in and go, all right, you're not going to believe this, but I need a thing. I needed things. So I was rounding up stuff that I thought, what was it? In this case, Thomas Jefferson would wear red wigs, pantyhose, stuff like that. Anyway, Teddy Roosevelt is going to be on stage with us at the Blizzard Theater at Elgin Community College October 12th. It's a 10:30 a.m. show, and we're only doing one. The main floor is, I checked when I went to look at tickets last night, and a lot of the seats are sold in the middle and the front rows. You'll still get plenty of seats on the main floor and then the two balconies. But you need to go to WGNradio.com/Teddy. Go to WGNradio.com/Teddy. That'll take you to the site. If you want to buy them online or if you want to call, you can call right now, 708-888-0000. That's what it says on this sheet of paper. You need to call 847. That's the number of the sponsor, 622-0300. For the tickets for the show, call 847-622-0300.
After that, it says 708-888-0.
It says them both. I think Steve was onto something when he said we'd sell a lot more tickets if we'd get the messaging clear on the show that's doing it.
Apparently, even Teddy/Tom doesn't always get it.
Okay, I'm going to let you enjoy that.
You just need to zero in exactly what you're doing, when you're doing it.
I'm going to let you enjoy that.
Where you're doing it.
I got to read the live commercial and then some of your texts, which will maybe not give us enough time to enjoy Steve's commentary. Get real in the morning with Larry Potash, Robin Baumgarten, Paul Conrad, and the whole WGN-TV morning news team. That's weekdays from 4 to 10 a.m. Do you or a loved one struggle with a mental health condition? Have you lost a loved one to suicide? You're not alone. The American Foundation for Suicide Prevention is dedicated to saving lives and bringing hope to those affected by suicide. Join AFSP Saturday, September 21st, for the Out of the Darkness Chicagoland Walk. It's at Montrose Harbor this year to help fight suicide. Walking together will bring these issues out of the darkness and into the light. To register or donate, go to chicagowalk.org/WGN. Last few texts here about this topic. Then I want to go into something that Wendy Snyder mentioned on her show with Bill Leff the other day. John, in Germany, hey, Steve Bertrand, they do put up barriers anytime there's an accident to keep people from, I guess, gawking. John, I live in LaGrange. I'm a cyclist. And that place I'm talking about, they do have a flashing light just west of Wolf Road. Even with the flashing light, people don't stop or slow down. We call that intersection or that crossing you're talking about the crossing of death. John, that intersection on Ogden Avenue now has bright flashing LED lights that are activated by bikers and walkers, like you said they should, Steve. I'm still not sure that that's the right place for one. People just don't see when they don't see. Hey, John, I was hit twice in crosswalks. Wow, that's bad luck. If it's on private property like a shopping mall, the driver does not get ticketed. I believe that. Seems to me like those are free zones. There's no, you know, laws just don't apply.
I once crashed into a Stuckey's in a parking lot and didn't get a ticket.
You want to explain what was going on?
I was driving a Frito truck, summer fill-in. And I was trying to get it as close to the curb as possible, and the overhang was a little beyond the curb, so I scraped the top of the Stuckey's. And the police came to fill a report. They said, well, it's private property, so you don't get a moving violation.
Cute story about a...
Didn't get a pecan bun either.
Here's a cute story, Steve, about a... what was his original trade? I think he was a chiropractor, but he had heard about another way of relieving people's pain, and it was by using those sharp needles and actually doing the acupuncture procedure. And he opened up a series of shops all around the country, franchises. You know what they call them?
No.
Stickies.
Nice.
It's a little joke about acupuncture there.
Well, that was a joke?
John, there's a very entitled attitude by pedestrians, joggers, and bicycle riders in certain neighborhoods like... Here we go. Okay, let's get to it. This has all been preliminary to labeling certain areas as the worst. Andersonville, Wrigleyville on Southport. John, a 90-pound lady or a 170-pound man never wins versus a 4,000-pound vehicle.
White shirt, now red, my bloody nose sleeping. You're on your tippy toes creeping around like no. Think you're so criminal. Bruises on both my knees.
What are you doing, Ella?
You don't say thank you.
I'm playing one of the three most streamed songs of the summer on Spotify. This is number three, Billie Eilish's Bad Guy, my personal favorite. And then number two is Ed Sheeran and Justin Bieber's I Don't Care. Number one is Shawn Mendes and Camila Cabello's Senorita. And also, as a side note, Billie Eilish won Best New Artist at the VMAs last night.
The song we're listening to now is...
Billie Eilish.
So we're featuring number three rather than number one because you like number three better.
And I told you I would, and you said okay.
I said it's your call, but I thought maybe you'd think it through.
Sure would like to hear the top song.
But she won Best New Artist, too.
I'm kind of thinking, gosh, what does the number one song sound like on Spotify?
It's bad.
Maybe it's something you haven't played before, unlike this one.
I guess Elif is doing us all the favor of not asking us to listen to the song that's been streamed over half a billion times this summer.
Why listen to numero uno when you have numero
and you got
trace?
Number three. Yeah. This is nice. You like this one better?
I love this one.
Yeah. Hey, Olive, just for kicks and grins, why don't you humor us, find number one, and let us know what that one sounds like.
Just so we know how bad it is.
I mean, maybe we'll be the judge of this, but,
mm-hmm.
But I don't think... You have much confidence in our ability to pick a good... You know, the thing is, Old Town Road isn't number one. Maybe Old Town Road doesn't count because it's the most listened to song since humans discovered speech.
Do you know how sick of that song I am? I'm sick of it.
I'm not sick of it yet. I don't listen to music like you do, so I haven't overheard it yet.
No, here's the thing. I hear it as I'm walking past establishments. Yeah. And at Lollapalooza was when I drew the line, because it was playing at every single bar in the festival.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I just, you would hear it, and then it would get stuck in your head, and then you wouldn't realize why the next day when you heard it again at a different bar.
Why is it still there? Yeah.
Why it felt so familiar.
Because you can't escape it. It's everywhere.
Right.
All right. So are you going to play number one for us?
Once I get it.
All right. Pull it up and let me know when you find that song. Senorita by Camila Cabello. I think I said that right. Shawn Mendes and Camila Cabello. Senorita, number one. Number two is Ed Sheeran and Justin Bieber, I Don't Care. Number three, the Billie Eilish song you just heard, Bad Guy. That's Elif's personal favorite. I don't know if you've noticed that, but we featured number three on our musical moment today. It's 2:38 here on WGN. We spent some time talking about intersections and traffic and the laws and who does and doesn't obey them around here. Somebody from 815 texted in and said, to respond to the last caller, I have two small children, and unfortunately I take my baby out on the street side, not the curbside, and it terrifies me. Unfortunately, sometimes I don't have a choice other than parking on the street. Love the show. Thanks for being you all who you all are. And then these two texts about the Dutch Reach. John, I believe in Illinois, driver's education classes, students are now being taught the Dutch Reach. That is, when you open your door, you're supposed to use the opposite hand, use what for most of us would be your right hand. I guess for all of us, it's your right hand. Reach over and do it that way, because it forces you to turn, look behind you, so you don't open your door into somebody, something, or step into traffic.
The woman who takes her baby in and out on the street side. I was doing that with my dog once, but I looked down the street, nobody was coming, and a cyclist, this is in Wicker Park on Milwaukee Avenue, a cyclist comes roaring by just about 30 seconds later and calls me the B word because I had my door open in the bicycling lane. Well, you can see me from a block away as you're approaching.
Right.
Why am I the B word when you can see that I'm doing this? So my heart goes out to the woman who puts her baby in her car.
815 said, John, I've tried that Dutch reach. There's no way I can reach the handle with my right hand, and I'm Dutch, which is really frustrating. All right, Elif, 3, 2, 1, woof. Don't dislike this song. It's just not your Billie Eilish, right?
I don't like it.
Oh,
so
no kidding. Senorita.
I just like it.
Play a little more of it for me. Sapphire moonlight. We dance for hours in the same tequila sunrise. Billie Eilish's Senorita, the number one stream song, the song of the summer. Said Spotify. Remember, on Spotify, you can say, play the Mincing Rascals podcast. You'll get our latest episode there. What's the podcast people are talking about? The one rated number one by the Illinois Broadcasters Association. Listen to the Mincing Rascals. I don't know how you activate your Spotify, but that works on your smart speakers, too, as well as by going to WGNradio.com and on my Facebook page. Yesterday, Bertrand just left the seat, but that's okay. We can have this conversation without him. Kim Gordon's getting ready for the news. She's getting ready for the 3 o'clock. But Wendy Snyder was talking to Bill Leff and not getting much love because she was describing the situation where her dog got at a rabbit in the backyard. The rabbit hadn't died, though, and it was an unfortunate scene. She got a shovel and was unable to finish the rabbit off, because she just couldn't do it. And so she put it in the backyard there. I think she might have actually put it in her neighbor's backyard, but that would have kept it out of her yard where her dog goes. So she, you know, what's the humane thing to do there? And I totally understand Wendy's inability to take the shovel and conquer off. If you had a shotgun, maybe you would use that. Although that looks bad. You look out the kitchen window and you see Wendy strolling out there with a shotgun shooting a rabbit in the head, but
yeah,
that would have been the thing to do.
You can't do that anyway.
You can't?
Well, Well, like if you're in Chicago, you can't walk into your backyard and shoot a rabbit.
You can't?
No, you're not supposed to.
No, seriously, I'm not being flip.
No, well, I mean,
if you have a shotgun and there's a rabbit that's been injured by your dog, you ought to be able to take your gun. That's maybe one of the best uses we have for guns.
Yeah.
You can hunt rabbits. Why can't you put one out of its misery?
I mean, that's a very good point. I don't think you're allowed to use them in residential areas unless there's a, I don't know. That's
she doesn't live question. In Chicago, but I don't know what the ordinance is in her neighborhood.
Still, yeah.
And it made me think, I suppose if you call the police, they're not going to tend to every injured squirrel and rabbit out there. But there should be a consumer way to handle this.
Because even if you call 311 in the city, it's going to take hours before they come for that.
A cat will get it by that time. Is there a retail product? Like, you ought to be able to go to Lou Manfredini's Ace Hardware store and get a vial of something? Oh, this sounds ridiculous. You know, and then you just go out and euthanize it yourself.
I actually made my husband, when we caught a mouse on one of the glue traps in our house, take spam, like the Pam spray, and bring it down to the park and spray and get the mouse off and send him free. I feel so badly, but he did it.
Were the feet still intact? Was the mouse still mobile then?
He was able to free himself and get him off. He wasn't. My husband did not tell me that.
You had your husband take Pam and go back out and now free the mouse up. What did you think was going to happen when you put the trap out?
Well, I didn't put the trap out, but when I found out that there was a mouse in the trap, I was like, oh my gosh, you can't kill it, you know, and then I'll make him a murderer, so I don't know.
Bill Leff wasn't having much of it. That is, he wasn't mad at Wendy or giving her a hard time, but he wasn't, I don't think, feeling her anxiety, her pain. She was really bummed out. And then some of you called in, and you were giving Wendy a hard time for bumming you out. I don't think that was fair to Wendy at all. She was just telling you something that a lot of us have come across. You can't be mad at Wendy for that. And the poor lady doesn't have it in her to conk a rabbit on the head with a spade. I suppose there are plenty of you that way as well. So what's she supposed to do?
Gosh.
She was just expressing that dilemma.
It is a dilemma. This is a tough conversation, I feel like.
She said it was a teenage rabbit, and Bill said, how could you tell? Was it vaping? Bill just wasn't there for her. It's kind of funny.
Bill's not a big pet lover.
You could tell. He was like, Bill had a very healthy attitude about it. He's like, it's nature. You know, we're all going to die and rabbits are going to die and we'll make more. That was the range of Bill's sympathy. And Wendy was crushed by this. I totally am on Wendy. I was totally feeling Wendy there. Not mad at Bill, but feeling Wendy. James, you're on WGN. You're on the air.
John, I don't live in a city anymore, but I did grow up in a city, and I lived there for a while. But I'm assuming that if you call animal control, the city animal control, they would come out and, handle that. Like, I mean, they've done everything, like, from rabid dogs. I saw them years ago back in the 70s capture a rabid dog and stuff like that. And I'm sure they would come and, take it and put it, in a humane way. And then, of course, if you're in the suburb, I'm sure there's a lot of animal shelters they could give a suggestion. That's what I would do. I would call.
Would they respond? But I see a rabid dog or a pet cat, but would they come out for just a feral rabbit?
I actually saw it with my own eyes back in the 70s. Animal control came out and they captured it. Yeah. I was walking in the neighborhood, where I grew up in. Everybody was kind of staying away from it because it was really kind of out of it. But it wasn't chasing anybody, but it was just kind of walking. You could tell it was very ill.
Yeah.
And they came and they put like a loop around its neck, and then they humanely put it inside of a paddy wagon type vehicle. And that was that. Everybody, no kids were harmed and everything. And I'm sure that was back in the 70s. I'm sure now they have different ways of just picking up any animal and putting it out of its misery. Maybe shoot it with a dart and that would tranquilize it. And then, I don't know. You'd have to call somebody from the city of Chicago. I'm sure you got connections.
Thanks for the phone call. That's James. Joe, you're on WGN. What did you want to say?
Yeah, the easiest way to take care of that is to take a bucket with some dry ice, put the rabbit in with the dry ice in the bucket, and the CO2 that the dry ice gives off will displace the oxygen, and the thing will just suffocate then. The way I do it.
I guess that would be sounds like some effort.
Serious question, though. Where can you find dry ice that's, like, readily available for consumers?
Florists have it.
Okay.
Myers.
Oh.
Really?
Yeah. Just go into Myers. Myers have it. Has it.
And will they sell you some, or do you say, hey, I got this crazy situation with a rabbit in my backyard?
No, there's a freezer that sits right in the front. They sell it to you. It's all right there. You just go tell them what you want and then take the bag or whatever they have it in. I forget. It's been years since I bought any.
I guess that's a humane way to do it, right?
Yeah, that's how they do it. If there's any mouse testing, or if they need to kill the little white mice in the scientist labs, that's how they do it. They use a little bit of dry ice. I'm not kidding. I've watched them do it before.
That's very helpful, Joe. Thank you for the phone call.
Yep.
So if you see an injured animal in your backyard, your cat got a bird or a rabbit or something, run to Myers, get some dry ice, put it in a bucket. Don't touch the dry ice with your skin. And then you'll slowly asphyxiate the thing. I think that's the right word. Joe, you're on WGN Radio. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, John. Number one, call animal control, but they probably won't get there before it dies anyway.
Yeah, right.
And if you shoot it, you're definitely going to jail.
I don't know the
more humane thing to do.
We get to shoot people in Chicago. I would think you should be able to shoot a rabbit that's in
the top.
We don't. We don't get to shoot people in Chicago, John.
We should not. I think it's legal now. I think that's what they've decided. They're going to cut down on the crime by simply making it not a crime. So I'm sorry. I'm being silly here. So what was your suggestion then, Joe?
Well, I mean, either put it out of its misery on your own, or just call animal control and wait. I mean, the only way I would think of is, well, it's not very nice to say, but grab it by the neck and boom, it's done.
Just pick it up.
It's going to suffer if you don't.
Yeah, that's true. And you're going to suffer if you do. That's the problem.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, what are you going to do?
I appreciate you listening.
Just leave it there.
Thank you for the call, Joe. You betcha. Somebody said, John, call Lou Manfredini. Get him on the phone. Lou is Mr. Fix-It. I don't think Ace Hardware has a thing, though, that you can just euthanize the pets with. Because then people would be euthanizing the neighbor's cat that they're angry at. So I guess we can't just let people run around with hypodermic needles doing that.
I need copious amounts of sugar after this conversation, John.
Is this stressing you out?
Yeah. I need lots of happy.
John, somebody mentioned on Bill and Wendy's show there's a service at perhaps some PetSmart locations that will euthanize the rabbit. Yeah, they did say there's a service or company you can call that does this. I don't know. I'll bet they charge if it's private. Was it PetSmart locations will do that? That would be news to me. This would be good to know. And I'm not clear on that. It's 250. My number's 312-981-7200. Did I just hear Rokan's microphone click on?
You know you did. That's a sign of a great radio professional right there. When you just hear the open airness of a mic click on. I wasn't sure if we were coming to you then or not, but we're here.
I heard the empty ambient sound and thought, Ro is breathing nearby.
Okay,
you could tell it was him breathing.
Let me just tell you something. That's better than usual. Most people are checking to see if I'm not breathing.
Mm-hmm. It's a good sign.
Yeah, it's a good
very,
sign.
Very positive.
So far.
What's up with you two campers?
Uninterrupted for the last 50-something years. All right, let's talk about this. We have got, coming up in the program, we got one of my favorite guys of all time, Bert Odelson. And I like to call, he's an attorney in Chicago. He does like election law and ethics compliance and all that kind of stuff. He's the kind of guy that people hire when they have just been ticketed by by some authority, where Bert goes, hey, Your Honor, please. Are you kidding me? Wait, come on. What are you kidding me? He was the guy that represented the goof that wanted to throw Rahm Emanuel off the ballot. Do you remember that?
Yes,
yes I
for
do.
Not yeah. the residency requirements.
Yep, back in 2018, mm-hmm. or 2010, I should say. Mm-hmm. So anyway, so he's a lot of fun. He's got his own thoughts on whether or not we could actually throw G7 2020 at Doral.